it's been nearly 4 months since a bomb exploded at a crowded nightclub on the Indonesian resort island of Bali. The blast killed nearly 200 people. It was the latest in a series of terrorist attacks in Southeast Asia, and it confirmed what many experts long had feared, that Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda network had established a strong presence in that region. Virtually every terrorist plot against the U.S. has had some link to Southeast Asia. This week, Morning Edition will have reports from Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand. Today, NPR's Eric Weiner reports on Al-Qaeda's unlikely first foothold in the region, the mostly Roman Catholic nation of the Philippines.
Long before Osama bin Laden became a household name, long before September 11th entered our lexicon, Philippine police stumbled across a plot so brazen, so fantastic, they had trouble taking it seriously. This is a trendy neighborhood in Manila called Malate. It's filled with outdoor cafes, jazz clubs, bookshops. In January 1995, Philippine police responded to a fire in an apartment building here. It appeared to be routine, but what investigators found in apartment number 603 shocked them.
When the police went to the apartment, they discovered computer laptops and ingredients for a bomb.
Glenda Gloria is an investigative reporter with the Manila-based magazine Newsbreak. She explains that the men in apartment 603, all foreigners, were planning to assassinate the Pope, blow up 11 U.S. airliners over the Pacific, and crash a plane into CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. This was a full 6 years before the September 11th attacks. Jose Almonte was the Philippines' national security advisor.
At the time, information like this is rather too remote, unbelievable. I think that is the word. We took note of this very seriously.
The FBI and the CIA did follow up on the Philippine information. All three residents of apartment 603 were eventually arrested. The ringleader, Ramzi Yusuf, is currently serving a life sentence in federal prison for orchestrating the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. But Zachary Abuza, author of a book about Al-Qaeda's Southeast Asian network, says the U.S. investigators did not dig deep enough.
They took the plot seriously, but they didn't look to understand the wider links between Al-Qaeda and the Philippines. Why were they there? Was it a one-time operation, or had they really tried to develop a network of front companies and Islamic charities that they used? None of that was uprooted.
The Philippines' Al-Qaeda cell, in fact, simply moved deeper underground and further south to the heavily Muslim region of Mindanao. Mindanao is home to most of the Philippines' 5 million Muslims, less than 10% of the country's population. This is the poorest region in the Philippines, and in a country where two-thirds of the population lives on $2 a day or less, that's saying something. Joe Rocamora, head of the Institute for Popular Democracy, says Mindanao offers exactly the kind of environment that Al-Qaeda finds attractive. Porous borders, plenty of guns, and millions of unhappy Muslims.
And where you have unhappy Muslims who are already in rebellion, from an Al-Qaeda vantage point, that's a good place to go, because you already have people who are engaged in the kind of military activities that Al-Qaeda wants to do.
Al-Qaeda has found common cause with Mindanao's Muslim militants, who've been waging an on-again, off-again war of independence for the past 3 decades. By all accounts, Al-Qaeda's point man in Mindanao was Mohammed Jamal Khalifa, a wealthy Lebanese philanthropist. He also happens to be Osama bin Laden's brother-in-law. Khalifa ran a local charity and was given money to build a network of 33 orphanages, but only one was built. Dia is an Islamic missionary from Egypt who's lived in Mindanao for the past 15 years and has met Khalifa on several occasions.
When I saw like these poor children or poor people, I felt like he is sucking their blood. Yes, really. This money was supposed to be donated, contributed by some good people in a good faith, but he is the one in the middle, was grabbing this money, using it for his personal matter.
Investigators now believe that Khalifa, who remains a free man in Saudi Arabia today, used the money to help fund militant groups in the southern Philippines, including the Abu Sayyaf, a group that engages in kidnapping for ransom and has been known to behead its victims. It's also been tied to a recent spate of bombings in Manila that left dozens dead. Philippine police recently arrested the man allegedly responsible for those bombings, Abdul Mukim Idris, and paraded him at this packed news conference. Police here claim that Idris received training in explosives from two Yemeni nationals. The Bush administration clearly believes that Abu Sayyaf poses a threat. It's dispatched hundreds of U.S. troops to the Philippines to train the country's armed forces and help them wipe out the Abu Sayyaf. But is this group of ragtag fighters really a part of the Al-Qaeda network? The U.S. ambassador to the Philippines, Francis Ricciardone, says the Abu Sayyaf leaders, at least, do have clear links to Osama bin Laden.
Some of them allegedly did some Afghanistan time and had some training in the camps there. I've heard it said, but I do not know if it's true, that Al-Qaeda at some recent point in the past few years sort of looked over the Abu Sayyaf group, determined that they might be suitable franchisees, because Al-Qaeda is a sort of franchise operation.
This is the so-called McDonald's theory of terrorism. Al-Qaeda has established a network of franchise operations throughout the world, independently owned, but with a common agenda. That's the theory. The reality, says Joel Rocamora, is more complicated.
Abu Sayyaf wouldn't qualify as an Al-Qaeda McDonald's. I mean, in terms of theologically, organizationally, and so on. I mean, it is much more of a criminal gang that takes advantage of these international links for money, for training, and so on.
But Abu Sayyaf isn't the only Muslim militant group in the Philippines. The Moro Islamic Liberation Front, or MILF, has 12,000 fighters and until recently ran a network of training camps throughout Mindanao. The MILF admits it may have unwittingly hosted Al-Qaeda members in these camps, but insists it no longer has any ties to Al-Qaeda. The group's fight, says spokesman Eid Caballo, is with the Philippine government, not with the U.S.
In the first place, we are not fighting with the Americans. We are not enemy to the Americans. We have not killed any single Americans.
If they say they have nothing more to do with terrorism, they really need to show it.
Again, U.S. Ambassador to the Philippines, Francis Ricciardone.
We are concerned they may be harboring people who are training or preparing terrorist acts. And if that's so, they cannot absolve themselves from responsibility for those acts.
Philippine police continue to make arrests almost every week, uncovering what appears to be a loose but persistent Al-Qaeda connection in the Philippines. One official here says severing that connection entirely is like trying to shut down the internet. Yes, you can disable individual websites, but the network always survives, he says, because it is everywhere, and yet nowhere. Eric Weiner, NPR News, Mindanao in the Philippines.
Tomorrow, a report on Indonesia, where last October's bombing in Bali focused attention on the growth of militant Islam in the region. A map, series outline, and web links are at npr.org.